happens now.
Capital 263.
Welcome to Politics and Beyond on Capital 263. My name is Christopher Farai Charamba.
I'm Upenyu Makoni Matenga.
And I'm Tawande Henry Beatty. And yeah, welcome to the best political podcast in the country, in the mini continents, from Zimbabwe. I don't even know what I was getting at there. I think my intro was as disappointing as our cabinet picks.
Wow.
So I apologize. Maybe Chris, when people complain, you can make a couple of changes.
Wow. Yeah. Your jokes are so funny. Today is what day is it today? Today is the 3rd of December. Hey, it's December. Hey.
Yeah. December.
You know this. And today we'll be talking about the cabinet appointees under this Wamnangagwa administration. And that's about it. Really,
because
I think there's lots to talk about in that department. We'll go through the list of names and I suppose just go through, you know, general thoughts on it and then speak specifically, I think, on some of the portfolios.
Okay.
Right. So, thoughts. What do you guys think as a whole? New cabinet. So, for those who don't know, on what day was it? On Thursday.
It was on
Thursday evening.
Thursday.
11 o'clock at night, maybe?
But why is this new government waiting until late at night or early in the morning? What's that about?
Wow.
For the record, I didn't laugh at
that. It's the witching hour. It's the witching hour. That's a translation. It's the witching hour.
I actually think it might have leaked. Or not leaked or been put out prematurely before, like, it had been finalized, and why? Although it does have a Ministry of Information official signature on it, Mr. Chikore, but some of the guys like Clever Nyati on Twitter found out on Twitter, so, and you know he was one of the appointees, and literally it was like people were congratulating him, and he was waiting for an official
confirmation.
Yeah. And then the following day there were changes which we'll talk about. So I think there probably was some miscommunication, which is not surprising, or wouldn't be surprising. And then, you know, it sort of went out unofficially, then became official, and then that's why there were changes. But I don't know.
But also the originating ministry is Information, Media and Broadcasting Services, which does not have the yes, they then disseminate, but they don't it's a bit suspicious actually. They're not Sibanda at the office of the president and cabinet. So I mean that in itself is problematic, that media and information was the one spreading or that had typed out this list of cabinet ministers. That being said, it does seem to be official because some people have remained and some people have been changed. So,
well, yeah. I think it is very official, and I agree that, you know, it should have been Sibanda who was the one to make the announcement. But at the same time, you're working essentially with
a cabal.
An OPC without a cabinet, or, you know, it's at this stage, you know, who knows what rules they're playing by actually are. So,
but the rules of bureaucracy are, you know, essentially the same. Sibanda's job is to, you know, be the secretary of the president and cabinet.
Yeah.
Minister Media and Information is to, well, we won't talk about that. So, I mean.
It's
quite clear to me, so I don't,
yeah.
You know, I think everybody needs a new job description. If people are taking recommendations, Gatinyorema job descriptions, and so that it's clear the line of distinction between Sibanda and Chikore.
Fair enough.
For themselves and for the people.
Fair. Henry, so thoughts on the cabinet? You've already expressed yours, but let's dig into it a little bit.
No. It's one of those things that initially it seems quite poor. Then you decide, no, this is not a Mugabe government. I have to give these guys the benefit of the doubt and actually try and understand where they're coming from. And, given the options from Parliament, given what experience people have, it is still maybe, it's not an E, it's definitely a D grade cabinet.
Yes, it's
wow. It's not a U corny, by any means.
Corny
but
as
let's
hell.
let's talk about, I think for a lot of people, let's talk about the elephant in the room, Fat Albert himself.
Yeah, okay, we'll get to that on it briefly. And this is something that I might have spoken about on the podcast, that a lot of people have complained about, you know, this D-rate cabinet, as you've called it, but we need better qualified people in parliament if we're going to have a better cabinet. The president can only choose, constitutionally, can only choose 5 people who are not parliamentarians to sit in cabinet.
We need to have, we need to be serious about voter registration, because essentially we are the ones who give the president his choices of people in parliament. So if we're not voting and ZANU-PF returns the same idiots time and time again, then essentially moshayedu that we have a very poor, what did you say, D-rate cabinet?
A low D.
But you see, it's not even just voter registration and going to the polls. It starts with my primaries, you know, and the guys who actually go onto the ballot, and it goes both for ZANU-PF and MDC and any other political party.
Yes, MDC.
There just has to be, you know,
better candidates. But apparently, what's interesting about that is Alex Magaisa was saying that it's ZANU-PF argued against having a cabinet that can be picked from anywhere, not just parliament. I don't know why.
Really?
Because
apparently
of patronage.
It was
stupid.
I think for me, you then guarantee your loyalties of the individuals that you have. Because they, you know, no minister is going to go to cabinet and put a bill forward and not vote for it. And everyone who's there is going to, all ZANU-PF MPs are going to be expectant or whatever to be chosen at some time. I don't know.
Yeah, because 5 is such an arbitrary number for not, like, you know what I mean? Like, why, like 5 is just...
It's small. It's small. Though 5 could be used effectively. I must say.
5 could be. But also, can I then, about, you know, the doctrine of separation of powers between the executive and the legislature, then technically we don't have a complete separation of powers, do
we?
No, we
don't.
No, of course. Yeah, that's completely right. Yeah.
And also, if the majority, this is what, 21 ministries that we have? In 22 ministries that we have.
Yeah.
So of our 200 and chakuti members of parliament, 22 of them are members of the executive. Yeah, sit in cabinet, which, you know, it's not a huge percentage, but it's big enough for me to be concerned about, you know, the murkiness of dealings between the party, between the legislature and the executive.
But
no, carry on.
Ipapo, it's a fair concern, but in our current climate, I think that's probably the least of the corrupt practices them dealing behind doors to pass. If they're doing that to get legislation passed, I go for it. I think that's I will allow that level of corruption, but based on the cabinet that we've seen.
Yeah. So,
but I mean, look, guys, Sure, even you can say Jaco Kuti, there's poor members of parliament. Fine, you can make that argument, but you know, you could have tried to give other people a chance, man.
No, of course I'm not excusing
who's chairing all these parliamentary portfolio committees.
I completely agree. I'm not excusing the fact that, you know, this cabinet is what it is, and it's a, to quote you, a D-rate cabinet. I'm just saying that
this is a disaster.
Wow. This is something that we need to actually focus on and think about and advocate for, that we just need better people in parliament. It's
yeah,
a fact.
As full stop.
And a full stop, yeah. And we just need to find a way to actually advocate for it and actually make sure that this is something that comes through. But we can move on. Let's actually move on. Let's see who we have. So
okay. Go down the list.
Yeah,
down the list.
So
maybe we talk about people as we go down the list. Maybe.
Yep. Yeah. Let's go down the list. Number one, Comrade Patrick Chinamasa, Minister of Finance and Economic Planning.
Standard.
No. Yeah. That one was
Patrick Chinamasa. Is, you know, I'm sure he's the best of what's available. But surely there are other. I mean, there must be an economist in parliament somewhere.
I think Chinamasa was brought in to finish what he started with IMF and processes
with Lima.
Exactly. That's
so
just
far.
It.
I haven't been impressed. Although I felt for him when he said, "Let's rationalize the civil service," and then people said, "Who do you think you are?" Only the Minister of Finance.
But you see, I'm hoping that this will actually, like, he'll be given a chance now. Let's actually see.
Yeah.
You know, when he says no bonuses and no bonuses come, let's see what happens with, you know, what he's able to do. So
I think we were talking about it on the group before, about people wanted to see the economic ministries go to technocrats, but like finance is the most political. I think second only, in fact, over and above defense, I think finance is the most political of ministries in the government. I don't think that you can put a technocrat at finance. It just wouldn't make any sense, because at the end of the day, he's the right hand of the president. He's the one that needs to push the president's agenda, and you don't need someone that's going to be pushing against you. And finance is the type of ministries that there are plenty of technocrats in the actual ministry. The staff, even to this day, the staff of the finance ministry is very highly regarded. Like they are quite well skilled. Kunema Dr. Takazara, my economist Takazara. So you don't need an economist from parliament. You need someone who can push forward the president's agenda. And I mean,
that's been the problem, Tawanda. Because people have been pushing forward the first lady's agenda.
No. We're assuming good now the head of the reptile, it used to be a snake, now it's a crocodile.
Wow.
Is better.
You have all the sound bites today, don't you?
He does. But also, if he can be, because my problem is that if he can be bullied by a banshee, or the kraken rather, then it's, for me, it's problematic that how much rationality does Patrick Chinamasa bring to the post of finance minister? Because yes, he's supposed to push forward the president's agenda, but for instance, when Tendai Biti was Minister of Finance, it was very much an eat what you can kill way of doing things in government, whereas we now have a $1.8 billion deficit from $400 million, which is very, extremely worrying. And this is, I mean, yes, it's only a 9-month or 8-month period that we have between now and elections, but 8 months is still a long time in terms of the economy. Things could get very, very bad in that short period of time. And Chinamasa was at the head of finance when things did get bad.
Yeah, but we also have to take into consideration that some of the things that he tried to do, he was just blocked from doing. So we're hoping that in this...
I'm talking about his character, strength of character, and ability to say, no, this is rubbish.
Okay, that's okay, what Chris. Chris, we keep saying some of the things that he tried to do, he was blocked from doing. Okay, bonuses, right?
Mm-hmm.
What else did he try and do that he was blocked?
Rationalization of the civil service.
Okay. He tried, did that. Did he really try that, or he didn't try and retrench? Right?
He did.
But now, yeah. Chris, we have to ask ourselves what he did do.
Yeah.
We presided over the introduction of bond notes.
He did.
He's been issuing treasury bills at an alarming rate.
Yeah, but I completely agree.
Let's hold him for what he has done. Fine, he's done has been more deadly, more dangerous than what he hasn't done. We can't say he did. These are X. These are positive X are terrible.
No, I completely agree. I just don't want us to lose fact of to contextualize the circumstances under which he was operating. However, we will see how he operates now under this new dispensation. I'm the eternal optimist, and I want to hope for the best. But
I'm going to accuse you of that optimism.
It's fine.
Because Chris, like Peño was saying about the deficit, it's going to be hard, and it's going to take almost austerity measures, right?
Yeah.
But someone who's already used to printing money to fix gaps in the economy might not have the discipline to not do that if a second time around. Do you know what I mean?
Because
if things get tough under Emerson and... and they decide, this economy is not doing well. I feel like he's the type of person that will just go back to those same policies.
Okay.
Old dogs don't learn new tricks. And that is essentially why this is a D-rate cabinet and why everybody is so disappointed with it. But yes, let's move on.
Thank you. Somebody saw my message. We can have an whole episode on Chinamasa.
On Patrick.
Right? Okay. Number two.
Let's keep it to one sentence for, or two on each of
exactly.
these.
Exactly. We need to keep it 40 minutes. Obed Mpofu, Minister of Home Affairs and Culture.
Oh, Jesus. The cops are coming back. Hide your money. Hide your cash. The cops are coming back.
Yeah, well, Panaobit. I mean, we all know. We all know. We all know. Though, yeah. you spoke about eating what you kill, and this is one of the downsides that came with eating what you kill. The situation that we have at Home Affairs, and the police. It works for certain departments. So like the passport office, why it became very efficient was because all the money they generated from passports didn't go to treasury. It went back it went straight to them, and they were able to order the passports and move things very quickly. But with the police, they were also on an eat what you kill. And that meant killing the people, essentially, yes, at traffic, and that's where a lot of their earnings came from. This is under Orbit. I don't expect this to change. We know Orbit.
Yeah, unfortunately, we do.
Henry, are you there?
I'm here. look. I mean, okay, let me not say too much about the fat man. We all know about Obed and his penchant for gourmandizing. He's as corrupt as Chombo, if not more. The man opened a bank, guys. Obed owned a bank. Do you people understand? Could you have a bank?
Yeah, okay, let's...
No, let's... He opened a bank in 2008, guys. Obed. But what, anyway, what's interesting is, what's this and culture part? What
yeah,
culture?
That's what I wanted to move on to. My assumption is that this is where the chiefs will fall under. So they might move from local government and and fall under, you know, the Home Affairs. I think. Otherwise, I can't, I don't understand, because on the, you still have sports, arts, and recreation. So I'm not sure. So we'll have to see, or we'll have to ask the media, should ask these questions and try get answers on that. Number three, Air Marshal Perence Shiri as Minister of Lands, Agriculture, and Rural Resettlement.
I think this is a reward. I mean, you know, yeah, he's rewarded either for not doing anything or for supporting what was not a coup. So, full stop.
This is not a coup.
Charge of Command Agriculture, I thought you said.
It's very true, actually. He was... I mean, so we all know that Command was very much being driven by the military. So the militarization of government programs is not new.
I remember when we spoke about Command, I complained about how we're going to end up with the military in all facets of our life. I wish I could find that snippet, because Nakati guys,
the militarization of government operations isn't new. Air Marshal Perence Shiri was very much driving the Command Agriculture Program as the chairman of, I suppose, the board that ran the program. And now he is taken over as Ministry of Agriculture, which clearly is an indication that Command Agriculture is here to stay in some form or fashion. And that is high up on the new administration's policy. And yes, there is the aspect of this being, you know, a militarization of the state, and I assume that Air Marshal will tender his resignation on Monday before he's sworn in, or he has since tendered his resignation before the swearing in on Monday.
Or they could amend the constitution.
Yeah, actually.
They could, they could.
Parliament.
They could. But
I wouldn't put it past them.
Let's see how it goes.
Yeah.
But I mean,
to be fair, Perence Shiri is actually him and the other military guy are actually the least of, because we've next on the list we have. Oh, I suppose he's been removed now, hasn't he? Lazarus has been removed.
Yep, as Minister of Primacy.
Paul Mavima.
Yeah, Paul Mavima, who was
then secretary.
Yeah, no, he was the deputy. He's now the minister. He's a cool guy, I think. Interacted with him a couple of times. Let's see if he will, you know,
Now that you know him, you're gonna be like, nah, he's alright.
No. I think he's better than Dokora in terms of just rationale.
Imi, why do people hate Dokora so much besides like
implementation of things implementation I don't understand. Implementation of the new curriculum. It was one of those it was completely poor. It was one of those where guys from next year we're doing things differently, or the policies changed without much teacher training, so teachers themselves don't know what exactly they're supposed to be doing, and it was just the ministry waking up one day and saying, well, we have this new curriculum that we've been working on, it's time to implement it, and across the board it was just implemented just like that. It wasn't phased in such a way that was
ministry partisan.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Yes.
I mean, non-confrontation
sounds like a regular Zanu thing too.
That's pretty much what the teachers themselves and the parents were complaining, because they were like, my grade one child is coming home with all this homework. I don't understand. You know what it is? And they have funny things like mass display. If you saw
North Korea,
the People's Commissar's Facebook, Instagram, Temba, he was showing mass display in Norton, which I mean, okay, but I don't know why we need mass display. Yeku North Korea wachita yans machi. Jumping up and down. Exactly. So anyway, so that's that. So Paul Mavima, and then number five on the list, David Parreñatwa, back at Ministry of Health and Childcare. Another controversial one. Yeah. Sighs all around.
No comment.
I mean we know.
Yeah. Listen, I think we need to have, it's a big ask, but we do need to have more accountability from government ministers. I had a conversation this past week about health and childcare and delivery of services there, because it seems to me like the Ministry of Health, and I understand it, the budget allocation compared to defense, we're not a country at war, but it's less than a third, I think, sometimes of what is allocated to defense. And social services are a very big issue in this country. We have people arriving at hospitals and dying. They're being denied services. We have people dying, women dying in childbirth. We have children dying of, treatable diseases. But it seems to me that we have abdicated, the state has abdicated the role of delivering health, in particularly health care services, to its citizens in favor of letting donors, that's the United Nations agencies and things like MSF, delivering services. And that is problematic, because when we then say that and that as a whole, I'm not just going to put it on Dr. Parreñatwa's shoulders, but as a whole, government really needs to take a look at itself and ask itself if this ndokutonga kwachwere.
But we can also mention the fact that while other people weren't being paid, he was collecting dues from medical aid companies, particularly PISMAs, for his own private practice while he was minister. So pane ka corruption as well, koko.
If we wanted to pinpoint corruption again, we'd be here all day. Number six, sure. Kembo Mohadi, defense, security, and war veterans. So I think the notable thing there is that defense and war veterans have been merged with security, so it's all one, which it should have been. There was no need to have a war veterans at security and defense that were separate. Kembo Mohadi's been at security for a while. There's nothing more, I think, there. So it's just
I wonder why Sekramai is out. I'm curious about, because it seems to me that
speculate about maybe VP.
Yeah, maybe. Oh. But also Auntie G40 had made them their man. So maybe he's also, and he was also Kugama Talkska. So
hey.
So anyway, I don't know.
Ziyambi Ziyambi,
Minister of Justice, Legal and Parliamentary Affairs. I hear he's not a lawyer. Legit, I hear he's a biomedical scientist or something like that.
Oh God!
I don't know how far. Why? I mean, this is off the Google. So,
is he married to Florence Ziyambi?
Yes, he is.
Oh, maybe so that's.
I've heard good things about.
So maybe, but that whole
Ziyambi family is, I thought they were all, because isn't
Frank Ziyambi?
Who's Frank?
Frank was the minister of deputy minister in Mugabe's first government.
And was he Ziyambi's father?
I'm not sure. I'd be lying if I said he was, but it could be possible.
And
that is
and Vernanda Ziambi, because she's a really good lawyer. She's a judge, yes, actually.
She was married to Frank Ziambi.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe we're going to Mruba.
Maybe. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
I also don't know. I mean, look.
Yeah, he was Frank Ziambi was deputy minister.
In terms of actual operational roles, he's in charge of parliament.
Yep.
Head of government business in parliament.
Also, I don't think he's a parliamentarian. Just, you know, putting it out there. I think he's
really?
One of the
Are
I
you
don't
serious?
Know. I don't
so
know.
The one guy that they picked from the nowhere is not even qualified to head.
I don't know. I don't know. I'd have to check. Let me just say, I'm not sure.
He's he is married to Florence Ziambi, who is the Deputy Prosecutor General.
Yes.
And he does not have any expertise in what he's doing. And it is rumored that, or it was rumored that, making way for Philip Tiangwa. That when he was removed from government, he was making way for Philip Tiangwa. You know, this is okay.
Yeah,
it's
we'll
fine.
See. Moving on.
It's fine.
Major General Sibusiso Moyo, Minister of Foreign Affairs and International Trade.
Obvious.
They left it out here, but
he's going to whip the Western detractors into line. That guy, I'm excited.
So my understanding is that Major General Moyo, soon to be retired, I hope, was in charge of the economic affairs for the military. And the indication seems to be changing our foreign affairs agenda from a political one to an economic one, which is why international trade has been grouped with foreign affairs, I think.
That's fair. And I've heard he's quite well educated, and from people that know him personally, he also is a very modest, not modest, yeah, Mzimbi, which is modest, assuming a six-story house. No, apparently he's a very modest, modest and well-educated person. If he does retire from the army, that's all the better. I'm less, actually, like I said, I'm less annoyed about the army recruits than I am about the Deadwood from ZANU-PF. When we go aminga, look, this is the reality we're living in. Ngomandiyo ndiyo.
Right. Just so that we mentioned, he was also mentioned in those DRC diamond nyayas.
I thought we said if we wanted to be talk about corruption.
No, I'm just stating it so that anyone says, but I'm now Zotaura. Anyway.
Okay.
Kazembeka
Zembeka. No. It's a minimum qualification to be in this cabinet, it seems.
What's that?
So, no? Shady dealings is the minimum qualification. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm going to
maybe you want to group
some
these
of them.
Guys.
Yeah, that's what I was going to. So Kazembeka Zembe, we are pano. Kazembeka Zembe, Minister of Sport, Arts, Recreation. Mike Bima, Minister of Industry, Commerce and Enterprise Development. July Moyo, Minister of Local Government, Public Works, National.
July Moyo is the other Moyo, the real Moyo, who is apparently the brains behind Emerson. Yes.
Yes.
Oh.
Apparently,
this comrade is the one. He's the real Prof Moyo.
So is it a reward putting him in local government,
course,
public
yes,
works, and
yes,
national housing
because
he
yes,
can then learn more from there?
But apparently he also, in his professional experience, helped in South Sudan when they were setting up their government. So he's got some governmental experience as a consultant.
Yeah. Kazembe, I think that's also a reward. Sport, arts and culture. I don't know what his background is, but we'll see. Mike Bima, he's been around. That's more of the Deadwood from the old administration, I think.
Hey, Chris. Yep. Kazembe has an MBA from AU, BTEC degree in marketing, and a graduate diploma in marketing. So, yeah, all right.
Yeah,
let's see.
He's got two names. He's a nanny. What was his parents thinking? Honestly, guys, and I'm just Zwaro Omito Umushiga.
Stem Sonyomi.
You know, there was something.
Ziyambi Ziyambi has two names as well. Why didn't you mention it then? Anyway, Stem Sonyomi, Stem Sonyoni, Minister of Women and Youth Affairs, Professor Amon Murwira, Minister of Higher Education, Science, Technology,
Hold on,
Development.
Let me stop you, Pana Stem Sonyoni, because I am a woman and this is important. We have had no... I can hear you muttering in the back.
Yeah, because I was just going to group them together.
No one muttering, please.
Go through them. Anyway, carry on.
Yeah. What I wanted to say was that we have, for instance, the child marriage ruling. There's been very little legislative movement particularly from the Ministry of Women's Affairs, which under Nyasha Chikwinya actually fought, opposed the court case. So I'm hoping to see from Stem Sonyoni movement on legislation that does protect and empower women, and particularly in programs. I mean, for instance, I was reading a parliamentary report on the Women's Development Fund, where there's no opacity and we're not even sure who the women are and what the projects are. And Maria Eskudzoka, that's supposed to be a revolving fund, and the ministry responsible is throwing its hands up and saying, we don't know. So, yeah, I'm Stem Sonyoni has done good work in the Ministry of Small to Medium Enterprises, and I'm looking forward to seeing what she's going to do in the Ministry of Women.
And Youth
that
Affairs.
Is all.
And she's 60 what?
No, you know, you want to ask those questions. We have a Minister of Justice who's not a lawyer.
I completely agree. Though deputing her at one of the few deputies that we actually have is Pupurai Togarepi, who used to be ZANU-PF Secretary for Youth. And then when Chipanga came, he was removed. Chipanga came in. Now he's deputy, probably dealing specifically with youth affairs, though he's not a youth himself. But
Yeah, so for me, this doesn't make any sense, because for bloody hell, hate him or love him, Justice Wajgajena has been one of the most efficient MPs, full stop, like regardless of anything. He's a hard worker on that Indigenization Portfolio Committee. Like, I don't know why you wouldn't put Wajgajena there. Like,
same here. It stumps me.
For me, that one... Fortune Chasi and Wajgajena, two people I don't see how they didn't make it into this cabinet.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree.
My detractors, that's
because, like, for example, Chasi is an MP. He was Deputy Minister for Legal and Parliamentary Affairs. So why wouldn't you make him? And he's young as well. Why wouldn't you make him your Justice Minister?
Because he is young.
He's not that young, guys.
Yeah, he's not that young. He's
not that young.
Because there's a certain hostility that the government has had traditionally against young people in general. If you can't be used, then you are thrown out.
Fortune Chasu was the first person kunetana na amai kumazoe koko. Fortune Chasu was amai uta amga zingewa nuga po kumazoe. So he's actually got even more Lacoste credentials than Lacoste himself.
Let's just run through the rest of the names, and then we'll just pick out like one or two. So you have Amon Murwira, Higher Education, Science and Technology. He's a lecturer UZ or in GIS. Suva Mandiwanzira, ICT, where he was. Cybersecurity has been put there. Joram Gumbo, Transport, stays there. Winston Chitando, Mines and Mining Development, we'll come to that. Opam Chinguri, Environment, Water, Climate, where she was. Priska Mfumira, Tourism and Hospitality. Ambassador Simon K. Moyo, Energy and Power Development. And then Simbambengegui, Minister of State for Presidential Affairs, for Monitoring Government Programs. Then you have...
Ministers of State.
Ministers of State. I'm not even going to go through their names. You have Petronella Kagonye, Minister of Labor and Social Welfare. That's one of the ones that came out that yesterday, I think it was.
It is.
Terence Mukube, Deputy. Davis Marapira, Deputy. Matema Danda, Deputy for Veterans Affairs. Tog Garepi, I mentioned. And Joshua Malinga, Deputy for Social Welfare. What we don't have is a Minister of Information, because Chris Mchangwa has now been moved to be
Special Advisor.
Cleve Anyati, who was Labour, is also a Special Advisor. And actually, no, Joshua Malinga, who I mentioned, is also a special advisor. Basically, the president had picked too many people from who are not independent, who are not parliamentarians, and so some of them had to be dropped. And
but there was an argument being made that he could have made them senators and picked from the Senate.
There is that argument, but I think that has to wait for if they're going to do that, I think it has to go through ZANU-PF Congress.
Okay. Oh. So they need to be readmitted first.
Yeah, and that's when I think VP is going to come from, according to this Mishek Sibanda.
VP is going to come from ZANU Congress.
Yeah, I think they're going. VP will be after ZANU.
This cabinet is a Congress cabinet. It's not a country cabinet. This cabinet was picked in with mind to the ZANU Congress.
Yeah, it's there's political there's politics at play.
Everything
yeah?
is about politics.
No. What I'm saying is that there's an air or a misconception that he's impervious in terms of a political challenge coming from within ZANU-PF. And it seems like based on just the balancing act that he's tried to do here with Gamma Talks, cadres specifically, it seems that, and also the regional balance, if you look at Ziambi, it makes sense because he was the chairperson of Mashwest, Kunana Urungwe.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that you'd have someone from there because he carries the province.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you can point at other people and point out to what province they come from
at play there. It definitely runs deeper than just, you know, some of the things. There are definitely a lot of things that were taken into consideration and a lot of politics that have been at play. And also just the fact that, as we said, he has to go to Congress to be ratified. And if he drops people like Obet, who is tipped to be the national chairperson of ZANU-PF, you know.
So national chairperson is a new position?
Yes, it's a new position. And
they want to put Obet there.
This is what I'm hearing. I'm not sure. This is what I'm hearing. I'm hearing Matema Danda will be political commissar, if I'm not mistaken. But obviously, we'll see when the time comes. I wanted to go to Winston Chitando, mining.
Mm-hmm.
Our new mining minister. I think he's the most of the, or he is the, you know, most of the technocrats. He was at Mimosa, CEO, chairman. One of the two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
he came up through Mimosa. I think he was originally part of, like, he came through the ranks. He didn't go straight to CEO.
Wasn't he at Anglo before that?
I'm trying to find his profile. You were the one who sent it to me, so I don't know why you don't have it in front of you.
I can't remember where I found it.
Ooh, shot fired.
Play nice. There's a lot of things that come through, but I don't know how you're laughing, but yes, it's Chitando of the technocrats, and for me it signals that the agenda, looking at this cabinet, when you strip away all the dead weight and the people that have been there for a long time, and are OPA, and you can talk about certain ministries like tourism, hospitality, though I think Priska Mfumira will do really good things there. I think the drivers will definitely be mining, agriculture, mm-hmm. and finance, obviously, because they literally, finance has to. But the focus is definitely going to be on mining, I think, in terms of policy, in terms of what it is that they're going to use to try and kickstart the economy, just because of the individual that has been placed there. And of course, Command Agriculture is, as I mentioned, going to feature very strongly in this administration's next 8 months or so.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. It's definitely a lukewarm cabinet.
Lukewarm? Hey, you're being generous.
He's being an optimist like me.
Oh, okay. Because you don't live here.
I'm just
but But also, being an optimist doesn't stop one from being critical.
True.
You know.
Okay, it's not lukewarm cabinet.
It's not saying. Well, no, that's what Henry says. I don't think it's lukewarm. I think it's quite cold. It needs some. They need to heat it up somehow, and I hope that.
Wasn't you people tweeting Guti when Mourinho left Chelsea? They won the league the next season with basically the same team.
I was about to mention that that was not me who tweeted it, but yeah,
because that's a shit example because we're a country, not a football team. It's bloody get out of here.
Well, the analogy is now that the ship has a new captain. Hopefully he's able to whip everyone in line and they actually perform. So again, I said I'm an optimist. I think right now it's going to be a lot of adjustments. It's going to be people trying to fit into their positions, and really we're going to start seeing whatever is going to happen or business actually taking place from January. You know how Zimbabwe is, the month of December, everyone winds down. Though I don't expect our president to take an annual leave like his predecessor. Yeah, that's about it.
Can we talk about the women? Hello?
Oh, yes.
The glaring. Yes, there's 13% roundabout. Four women now. So yeah. It's, yeah. Listen. And I said it on Facebook.
Zero.
The youth are represented by a 61-year-old, as you pointed out just now. So.
No, actually, but, you know, I take back lukewarm. It's a piling, steaming heap of kids.
Hey. We need to wrap up, ka.
Okay. So, listen, this is still a very, it's still very sexist. It's still very much a man's Zimbabwe. And because of that, it will fail. Finish, full stop.
So much like the argument for better quality MPs, we also need to have an argument of how to get women into elected positions. It's a question and a comment at the same time.
I was going to say better quality women. I was going to be like, wow.
No, it's a question and a comment at the same time.
But it's also true. It's also true. We do need better quality women in political positions. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's one of the issues. That's one of the, you know, the agenda points that I think we as a nation needs to be spoken about and thought about and actually advocated for. I know she votes... was, you know, advocating for such and has been driving that agenda. I haven't seen a lot of their operations, and most of them I catch on social media, so I don't know.
Were you guys not compromised by the behavior of some of your parliamentary candidates from Shivu?
Some of us, you know what? I think we need to talk. The problem with women is that sometimes the loudest women are deemed the most qualified for political positions, obviously, because you have to be loud to be heard. But the loudest women are not necessarily the best candidates. Does that make sense? So, you know, yes, we were compromised by some of the candidates and the quality of the candidates, and it's still something that we do need to examine. But here's the fact, Kuti, we have a cabinet full of men who are corrupt. If we really look at their character, and so are we holding women candidates to a higher standard before we even elect them, when the men who are at the top don't even meet the standard that we require for women to hold council positions? So again, this is a question that we need to ask ourselves, especially as we register, please do that, to vote, and particularly when we are criticizing women publicly for what they've done. The standard is just higher, and it's that much harder for women just to be a counselor, for women just to be, you know, a CEO or whatever, let alone a minister, let alone a president.
And on that bombshell, I think.
No, that know. Was a good final word. Definitely yeah. register to vote, guys.
Register and, vote. Shout out to us. We got a good 5 or so, 8 seconds on Al Jazeera.
Al Jazeera.
So you can check out the clip on our Facebook page and on our Twitter page. Shout out to 263 Chat and Open Poly as well, alternative media in Zimbabwe. You guys can follow us on Facebook, Politics and Beyond. Follow our Twitter page. If you're on listening on iTunes, please rate us. Give us 5 stars, you know, just to boost that up. Twitter is Poly and Beyond ZW. Where can they find you guys? Oh, you can find me at Chris Charamba on all social media.
I'm Openyu Makoni everywhere.
I would just, instead of giving you my handles, I just want to congratulate the president on his honorary doctorate from the Midland State University. Dr. Emerson. So I hope.
Say his last name. Say it with your chest, boy. Say his last name.
Yes, say it. Say it.
Say it.
Thank you guys.
If no, bye. If you're going to congratulate him, say his full name.
And now. Capital 263.